Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Okay, guys, I just want to jump in with a bit of a recap. As a church family, we've been looking in Isaiah chapters 54 and 55 since Easter. We kind of returned back to one of our series for the year, which is More, But Make Room for More. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And in chapters 54 and 55, following what was said in chapter 53 about this messianic figure, following about what it said about this suffering servant that would end up in glory, we're hearing in 54 and 55 in Isaiah, some of the invitation that God is giving to these new people, his own people. Not just the invitation, but what to prepare for as his people. And as a leadership, as a church, we really believe that God is asking us and inviting us to make room for more. But I just want to speak into that straight away. When we say we're making room for more, that isn't some sort of consumer thing where we just want to make more things for ourselves. We don't want just more items, just more stuff. Actually, God's heart behind making room for more is that he wants to do more in you. And it's because he loves you. He wants to do more in you. And because of who God is and in his character and his nature, when he's doing more in you, in fact, we're invited to do more with him. And so he wants to do more in you, but also he wants to do more through you. And I believe there is more for us, even as a corporate body, as a church, because God is going to fill us with more of himself. It's just a ripple effect of what God has for us. So today we're going to find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 56. And actually, this is a little mini series, a two-parter. So I get this Sunday and the privilege of next Sunday. And whilst we look at chapter 56 in Isaiah, I really believe actually what God is sharing with us today is his invitation, the invitation of God. And it's come to me to lead, what kind of greeting is the invitation of God? And as I started to think about this, what is God's greeting to us through the word, and what for each and every person, nobody excluded, his greeting is welcome home. I just want to share that with all of you. His greeting, regardless of who we are, where we've come from, is welcome home. That's to each and every one of us. Welcome home. And I don't know about you, how many of you have a doormat at the front of your house? Yeah? A few hands up. For those who don't put their hands up, it's really helpful to have a doormat so then you don't get the tread marks in your home. But anyway, there are several kinds of welcome home mats, but there's also several kinds of greetings you can get on a doormat. So I'm not sure if any of you have seen them. I've got a few I want to take you through. Obviously, there's some that weren't good for a Sunday setting, but it was really funny. Anyway, so here's some of the greetings I've seen on some doormats. So the first one, if we put that one up. So there you go. Doorbell is broken, yell ding dong really loud. And I don't know about you, maybe with some welcomes you've had, you feel like you have to perform to even get the welcome. Or maybe in the welcome, you don't actually feel noticed. Right, here's the next one. Look at this. Thank you for leaving. Anybody had that welcome where it's like, actually, I feel really unwelcomed. I'm not actually welcome here. Here's the next one. Friends welcome, relatives by appointment. I don't know about you, some of the greetings I get, sometimes I'm like, am I a friend to you? Or am I an acquaintance? Am I a relative? And being a relative, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, you get that vibe sometimes in the welcome you receive. Here's another one. Welcome home. Oh, welcome. I hope you brought wine. So for some of us, maybe sometimes the welcome we receive or we've had in life is like, we do feel welcome, but there's a bribe. There's something you have to do. You have to earn that welcome. You have to bring something. You have to produce something to receive that welcome. And here's a final welcome mat I've seen. It says, please hide packages from husband. And the package is under the mat. And I just thought that was funny. There's nothing to say about it. And in fact, just because I'm a dad and I'm trying to cut down on my dad jokes, but as I was looking for it, there was a mat that said, hi, I'm Matt. No, sorry, guys. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But here we go. Guys, I've felt welcomed before. Somebody has welcomed me, but sometimes I haven't felt at home. Sometimes I've received a welcome, but I haven't felt at home. And I want to explain this to you. So one example is when I was studying in Bible college, what they'd do in the weekends, they'd send you out. They'd send the students out to serve in a local church somewhere. And the local church, bless them, one of their church members would put you up overnight so you can serve more than one day. And so what happened was I ended up serving in a church in Dagenham. And I got there quite late because my Bible college was quite far away. And I believe, I'm really sorry if I get this wrong, I believe I was staying at a Nigerian's house, okay? So I went there and I ended up getting there quite late and a really warm welcome from this lovely lady, but it was late, so she had to go reheat my dinner because she'd cooked for me. And she said, why don't you just go sit in the living room? So I went and sat in the living room by myself, and it was a beautiful, immaculate living room, and there was some massive TV on, and she'd left a program running. But it just so happens, as I sat in there by myself, the program got to an intimate scene. And I was just like, God, why me? Why does this always happen? And I was like, there's nowhere to look. Can I change the channel? What will they think if I change the channel? Have I changed their program? And all this went through me. And then the lady came and opened the door. And I was like trying to like be in front of the TV, all like big, trying to shout like, hi. Yeah. So, and she welcomed me through to the kitchen. And she didn't go and finish off her show. She sat in the kitchen with me. And I sat in this kitchen with this bowl. And in this bowl was red rice, okay? Now, I love rice. Rice is decent. But, like, for me, I'd never seen red rice before. And there were shrimps in there or prawns. And I'm like, this is the one. I'm really enjoying. This is going to be great. And there was a cup of tea next to me, because, you know. So I started to eat this red rice. And I was like, oh, my days. You know, there's hot. And then there's hot. There's, like, your voice goes up. And I was perspiring my way through this rice as she was just making small talk with me. Like, yeah. And I was eating it. And I couldn't even drink my tea. I waited for my tea to go dead cold. Like, it was chilly by the time I'd finished my meal. And then I just downed this milky tea to put it down. And the woman, bless her, was like, oh, I'm really surprised you ate that. I was like, why are you serving it? I felt welcomed. I'm trying to make a point here, guys. I felt welcomed, but I didn't feel at home. I didn't feel I could be real. I didn't feel like, oh, maybe I should change the channel. I'm not sure if I've got that privilege yet. Maybe I should turn the TV off. Maybe she'll see me as judgmental in that way. Or maybe I should say, well, this food is really hot. Can I have some yogurt, please? No, I didn't feel at home. I didn't feel at home in this welcome. I just want to ask you, how welcome do you feel by God? How at home are you with God? How welcome home? How does that greeting land on you? Are you free to really be honest? Do you actually trust God's welcome? Do you trust him when he says welcome home? Do you actually trust that's a legit welcome from God? Because there's all sorts of welcomes out there. There's all sorts of strings attached to those welcomes. And I really want to encourage you today, we're not talking about church. I'm not saying how welcome you feel in the church. I'm not saying how welcome you feel in the church service, although I really want you to feel welcomed. But if you don't get the welcome of God, you will never understand the welcome that church is supposed to be. And it's really important that above all, we realize the welcome home that God has given us. So what we're going to do, we're going to open up Isaiah chapter 56, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 8 to you. And what we'll do, we'll have two Sundays where we can look at this, but today we're going to look at one aspect of this. Just to give you a bit of context before I read it, at the time of this vision or Isaiah writing this down, Israel are in exile. They're no longer in the promised land. They're actually in Babylon. So Israel themselves are outsiders. They're outside of the promised land. They're outside of what God has promised them. They're the outcasts. They're the strangers. And actually, chapters 56 to the end of the book is kind of addressing this new redeemed community that was going to come back into Israel. And actually, this is God's call for them to this redeemed community. This is how God is asking them to be like, because this is what he is like. So let me read. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. It's really interesting already from this outset when God's calling this redeemed community or what will be a redeemed community to himself, he tackles injustice, okay? And he also tackles idolatry. These are the things that have led Israel into exile. You see, at the end of the day, Israel went into exile because they lived by their own terms. They lived by their own means, other than the promises that God had given them and by God himself, who wanted to be their all. That's why they turned to idols. That's why they ended up with so many social injustices. And what God is already doing here, from chapter 56 onwards, even before that, God's inviting people to realize to do relationship on his terms. This is what it's like to be part of me. This is what it's like to be, to follow me. So today I've got two things I want to talk about God's greeting to us from this passage. Two things about God's welcome home. And I'm going to give it from the outset, from the get-go. The two things I see in this kind of few verses, scriptures, is that his welcome home is about your rest, okay? It's about your rest and it's about your acceptance. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your welcome home. We thank you for the invitation and your greeting that you give each and every one of us without exclusion, Lord. And I pray right now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you would unveil your word for each and every one of us to know what it means to rest and to have your acceptance. Lord God, would you minister to us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So the first point we're going to go through is rest. Okay. And you may be like, David, where did you get rest in all this scripture? Well, it's to do with the Sabbath. The Sabbath appears in this scripture in verses 2, verses 4, verses 6. God seems to be really caring about this Sabbath. And for me, the Sabbath, the seventh day off, the holiday day of the week, maybe, although some of us get Saturday and Sunday or however you see it. Maybe for you, it's like, ah, so God cares about my lie-in. God cares about my box set. God cares that I have takeaway. I mean, I'm just inviting you into my Sabbath day here, my holiday. But if we just reduce it to that break, if we just reduce it to that, we're missing so much about what God's heart is for the Sabbath, okay? What God's heart is for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath is a holiday. Let me break that down for you. That's a holy day. That means this day is set apart. Now, the question we need to ask is, what is this set apart for? And if you go to the heart of the Sabbath, if you do a bit of study in it, and you can look at it in like Exodus, chapters 20 and 23 are great. We don't have the time. The heart of the Sabbath, what it was for relationship with God, relationship with him. That's what it came down to. Now, the next question you've got to ask then is, who's it for? And this is what's interesting. Yes, it was for the Israelites. But if you unpack what was said to them in Exodus and when God mentions the Sabbath, it wasn't just about the Israelites. It was about all those staying with them. It was about the slaves. It was about the servants. It was about the foreigners. Look, God is so caring and kind. He even gives the animals a day off. It's mentioned in Scripture. He wants them all to have a rest. Not just a rest to have a box set and lie in, but also to do relationship, more so to do relationship with him. You have to understand the Jews at the time, when they hear Sabbath, what their program, what their upbringing, what their thought, what their relationship with God would have taken them back to creation. The seventh day of creation, God's work finished and God enters rest. And not only this, this would have been on their minds, but with the Jewish history, they would have seen God as a creator, but also their sustainer. He's the one that keeps the world in motion, that keeps their lives going. But not only that, here's the thing, the progressive revelation of God through the Old Testament into the New is that God would also be their redeemer. And so they're invited every Sabbath to remind themselves they have a relationship with God, that God created them, sustains them, but also will rescue them, will save them. And this wasn't just for the Israelites, this was for all those who would see themselves as part of the community. Even beyond this, you've got something called the year of fallows, every 7 years or the seventh year. And then the Jubilee, which is after 49 years, the 50th year would be the year of Jubilee. And this is how much God cares about them relying on him and the relationship with him. On the seventh year, they weren't supposed to do any work. In the seventh year, they weren't supposed to mow the lawn. They weren't supposed to sow the seed in the ground. They weren't supposed to farm. They were supposed to leave it. And that wasn't just to be restful and to rely on God, but also it shows God's heart because he said, this makes room for the poor among you to actually reap from that time. And then when we talk about the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, this is when you have debts, when you have people who owe you something, when you have servants or slaves or some sort of loan going down, God's saying in that year of Jubilee, I want you to cancel all debts. This is about relationship with me. You can cancel them. Maybe there's injustice been done, but I want you to cancel them. In fact, I want you to bless. And so God actually says in the year of Jubilee, actually to give of your grains, to give of your oil, to give of your wine to those who may be indebted to you. This is God's heart. The Sabbath is rest. It's about relationship with him, depending on him. But also if you're doing that, the overflow of that really is to bless. Okay? There is no exclusivity here. God's heart was always to bless, not just Israel, but the world. So here's the deal. If that's what God is asking the new redeemed community, his people, we today continue to be his people through Christ Jesus. Do we understand? Do we rely on God saying, he's got me? Do you trust him? Do you trust that he's got you? Do you trust his welcome? That actually he will provide the rest that you need. He will provide all that you need. Do you trust that he will be the home that gives life? Because you see, what if we're not living in his home, we're not living in his welcome home, what you'll find is you're living in exile. If you're not living in his promises, the land of his promise, then actually you're living in exile. So my first point today about rest is you'll find what you need in God. You will find what you need in God. It may not be what you think you need, but you will find what you need in God. And for some of you, you may think, well, rest is a really easy principle. I just live by Jesus. But I'm just going to be honest with you right now. I thought I was really good at rest. I'm really good at holiday. Yeah, give me some annual leave, please. I'll enjoy that. But I realized actually taking it back to the heart, I find it really difficult for myself to just rely on God. I don't want to stop. I want to rely partly on myself, on some of the things I can do. I want to perform in my life. It's true. I have this yearning to perform and to earn, to meet my needs other than outside of God's provision or outside of God's ways. There's this thing in me where I want to make a name for myself. And I think the truth is some of us, we feel that too. I want to add value to my life. And the crazy thing is, sometimes I get into this place where I deceive myself and I think, I'm going to add value to my life by doing things outside of what God has for me or going after the things God doesn't have for me, which honestly just leads us into exile, into death. Now, this is what's really, you know, God's so clever. He's just got our hearts. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 31, I'm going to read this for you. It comes up on the screens as well. This is what God has said about the Sabbath. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. Just think about that for a moment. A day of rest, and you're saying to deny myself? No, I'm not denying myself. This is chill. This is relaxed. I'm box setting it. I'm having a good day. When we take it back, actually, God realizes even rest can be a difficulty to us because it means we have to deny ourselves. And to be honest, I struggle with rest. I struggle with the principle of it, of relying on God. And here's the difficulty. Since Easter, I'm sharing, you know, I share my unfolding life story. So since Easter, I mentioned how I felt God was asking me to give stuff about the loft conversion. So I'm currently in a loft conversion process, and I've only come to realize how much I was deceiving myself, or not, just procrastinating. And yes, God wants it, and yes, I rely on God. He's going to help me make that happen. But I realized I was living in a lot of anxiety. I was living in a lot of fear and uncertainty. And I'll tell you what, God doesn't want me to live in that. And God doesn't want you to live in that either. You see, it's always a complex thing. So the loft conversion deals with family, okay? Certain conversations have to happen with my family. Put in the mix, money, okay? So there was like, oh, how are they going to feel? What's going to happen there? Put in the mix, I'm expecting a second child in September. Woohoo. And I just don't know how that timing works out with a loft conversion. All these things coupled together, and I realize actually, I was living outside of the rest of God. I was living outside of what he has best for me, because I was like going crazy over it. I was anxious, and it took me a while even to get there. So after Easter, I realized, oh, actually, I'm really bothered by this. I thought this was just a chill thing I could hold to myself. Oh yeah, I'll give it to God. But actually, God is inviting me to look to him through all of it, because he doesn't want me to experience anxiety and worry. And we come up with that. But we need to bring it to God. You see, the trouble is, when we look outside of the Sabbath, we look outside of God's welcome. And we need to be in his welcome. We need to live life in his invitation. Only in his invitation there is life. Outside of God, outside of his house, it's actually death. We're in exile. We're not doing well. And the challenge of living outside, here's the thing. I talked about a principle. The Sabbath is no longer a principle by which you live by. The Sabbath is no longer a principle. It's a person. The Sabbath is not a principle every 7 days. It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus came, lived amongst us, incarnate God, came, lived amongst us, died, and resurrected to finish the work of God. On the cross, he completed, he fulfilled the work of God in redeeming and rescuing us, in bringing back what we could not bring back, a relationship with God. The Sabbath's not a principle, it's a person. And the sad, sad thing is, so many of us, including myself, live outside the finished work of the cross. The fullness of the cross is on offer for each and every person. And can I just say, you only get life through the cross. Not at the cross, through the cross. And this is why Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me. But the challenge is, we look outside the cross, we look outside the Sabbath, we look outside God's rest to find rest, to find victory, to find even peace, shalom. We're looking for it outside of what God has set up for us to receive it. And I even mean that with relationships or with our jobs, with our provision. I wonder what it is for you. Where are you looking outside of the Sabbath? Where are you looking outside God's rest? Where are you looking outside of the finished work of the cross to meet your need? Because I think God wants you to meet your need in him. Because it's only in him and through him this will make sense. So where are you resting, guys? You know, God says, I have your best at heart. He says, your best is with me. And can I just say there, your best is with him. But even the family member you care about, the friendship or the friendship circle you're caring for, God has his best for them as well. And this is something God's been ministering to me. Yeah, but I need to do this to help them. Yes, I can talk about God. I can share about my relationship. I can evangelize. But actually, do I trust that God has the best in store for them also? Does God have the best in store for my children, for your children? Yes, he does. But do you trust that? Will you move from that? God's best might not be what you think, but it's better. It truly is better. Is that okay? First point. Wonderful. God's rest. Welcome home. So now we're going to look at acceptance. And we're just going to look at the way I see acceptance here is looking at the foreigner and the eunuch, okay? And it's throughout the rest of the scripture. So I'm just going to give you the perspective of a eunuch was for maybe the eunuch themselves, but also for the Israelite nation, for the Jews. See, a eunuch has no future. In fact, the eunuch is fruitless. That's why it says, I'm only a dry tree. He can't bear any fruit. He can't bear any children. And the legacy comes through the children. The name of the family comes through giving birth and having their children be their name for them to keep that legacy going on and on. And this is the harsh thing. They would experience at the end of their lives, cut off, literally experience cut off from the world and from who they were, what they have. There's no legacy. And the sad thing was, because of their mutilation or because of their deformity, there was this thing where actually you're unaccepted. You're unacceptable to God. This was a wrong mindset, but a mindset nonetheless. Because they were tarnished, they had no place. This is what I love God. Verse 5, he comes in strong and restores dignity to the eunuch. He restores honor to the eunuch. Look what it says. It even talks about memorial. It talks about a monument, a lasting monument for you. That's what his heart is for you. A name better than children. I mean, you can have sons and daughters. Well, you can't have sons and daughters, but I'll give you a name that's better than sons and daughters. I'll give you an everlasting name. You know what? You will get to bear my name. That is a forever, eternal legacy. That is what I'll give you. Notice the problem hasn't gone, but he's given them something better. I just got to be real with you. With God, sometimes he disappoints in the sense that what you want, he doesn't give, but he gives you something so much better. He gives you Jesus. He gives you his one and only son. And this is what's on offer for us today. One thing about the eunuch, if he dies, he's forgotten. Can I just say, in God's house and God's family, in God, you will never be forgotten. You will always be remembered. And your name means a lot to God because you get to bear his name also. Let's look to the foreigner then. So the foreigner, the perspective of the foreigner from maybe the Israelites' view or even to the foreigner, the thing is they didn't start with the crew. They didn't start with Abraham. They weren't jamming with Isaac. They weren't there with Israel, Jacob. Maybe they were brought in later. So there's this kind of rejection vibe going on. There's, oh, I don't belong here vibe. Oh. They weren't part of the bloodline, and therefore there was a feeling of no portion, no part of the inheritance of Israel. You're not right. They're rejected. They're outside of it all. Verse 7 comes in strong again. God says, well, you know what? You've got a place. I'm going to gather you to my holy mountain. We have to understand that holy mountain isn't just Jerusalem. This isn't just an invite back to Israel. This is an invite to Zion. A spiritual family, a relationship with God, an eternal thing, not a place, not a physical place, but a new stance, a new reality. This is relationship with God. And if you use the Jewish mindset, when they think of a mountain, they're going to be thinking of Moses. And you know, Moses, when he went on top of the mountain in Sinai, what did he receive? The Ten Commandments. He received instruction. He received commands from God. See, God would give instruction, relationship. He would do life with those who would see themselves as foreigners. And not only that, they'd be invited into the house of prayer, where originally what we'll find is they were on the outside, the outskirts. There was the outer courts. But God is saying, actually, you're going to be in my house of prayer. Wow, restored in my house of prayer. And God takes it to a new level here. He talks about the altar. He says, your sacrifice will be accepted, received by me on the altar. Look, not even all the Jews got to do this. Only the priests, only the Levites got to sacrifice on the altar. Here, the foreigner is being invited in onto the altar to sacrifice before God. And not only that, but he receives it. He accepts it. Wow, this is the God that we can belong to too. And so my second point today to do with acceptance, God's welcome home is you belong in God. You belong in God, not to God, you belong in him. And this isn't a partial thing. You can't belong slightly in him and slightly out. You can only serve one master. There is only life on one side and death outside. Can I just encourage you with that? You really need to embrace the fullness of what God has for you. You belong to God is about embracing his fullness. The problem is we stay on the doormat too much of the time. We stay at the greeting of welcome home. We wipe our feet because Jesus has brought about our forgiveness, our redemption, but then we don't step into the fullness of God. We're on the porch. And this is what makes me sad is God says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Not my porch. not my porch. You're not going to stand outside. You are to come in to the fullness of what I have for you. And the thing is, we maybe wipe our feet. We get to that point, but then we don't enter because we feel we'll mess up the house. Maybe we're dirty. Maybe there's things we're still struggling with, so we can't get in. This is the same thing I talked about on Easter Sunday, where I said we need to exit the grave. We need to leave the grave. But the issue is, we don't want to leave that darkness because there's stuff around us we don't want to expose ourselves to. But can I encourage you with this invitation, this greeting, welcome home from God, isn't just leave the grave behind, isn't just come into the light and be exposed. God welcomes us to exit the grave and to enter his house. Enter him, the fullness of him. And this is the issue. Some of us feel that the house or who God is, isn't for all of us. You know, the only way I'm going to get clean is taking a bath and a shower, and that's in God, that's in the house. Yet we're like, oh, we'll do it outside of the house. We'll somehow make ourselves clean and worthy outside the house. And God's saying, the soap's in here for you too, you know. You're welcome to come on in. The issue is we come up with our own disqualifications. Who we are, where we are, what we've done. Maybe even our past makes us feel we can't accept the fullness of what God has for us. Maybe even your present situation you feel is a reason why you can't accept what God has for you. Or maybe because we're projecting a future that we think we'll never be worthy of it. But God wants all of you, and he's made a way for all of you. Here's something I really want to share with you. And this is a real tough one. This is a tough one. Some of us don't step into the fullness of God because we think, because of our thoughts, that we can't. Okay, and I want to accept that is a difficult place to be. That's a painful place to be. Your feelings, they can really subject us to some horrible things. And I want to say your feelings and your thoughts, your perceptions are real, but they may not be true. You want to hear that again? They are real. I don't want to reduce the pain, the struggle, whatever you're going through, but in Christ Jesus, they are not true. It's his rest that will get you in there. If you rely on God, depend on God, you will find yourself belonging in God and the fullness of what God has for you. Here we go. This is the last point I'll make from you belonging God. You belong not by your testing, but by God's terms. Not by your testing, not by your disqualifications and then your celebrations of working things out. You belong by his terms, which means it's relationship on his terms, which means it's all by grace. Not by your merit, not by what you do, not by what you consider what you can do. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his rest, stepping into the fullness of relationship with him. And can I just say, when you step into the fullness of relationship with him, there's a difference. You've lived life one way, you've lived your life this way. In Jesus, it's different. It completely changes your perspective, the way you do life. So here we go. 2 weeks ago, I went to Lebanon. Lebanon, I've never been there before. Went to a new place, okay? Now, I've done life on my terms here in Watford and doing my thing. But when I'm going to Lebanon, I realize life may be different. I'm going to live life on their terms in that context, out of love, not out of striving. And so I ring up Magdi, who's going to be our translator there and also the team leader. And I'm like, Magdi, how can I honor these people? Can I wear shorts or not? Straight up, just give me the answer. And he was like, yeah, you can wear shorts. So I packed all my shorts. Can't wait. It's going to be hot. It's lovely weather. Not used to that in England. There's going to be a change here. I get there, whack on those shorts, go to the first meeting, and one of the team from Lebanon sort of looks to Magdi and starts speaking to Magdi in Arabic. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't like my shorts. They're not that short, by the way. They are appropriate shorts. And so Magdi comes back to me and says, oh, David, really sorry, but actually you can't wear shorts. You need to wear jeans. I was like, oh, jeans in this heat? But actually, I'll put on those jeans. So I put on the jeans. The team leader comes, sees me again, and he goes and speaks to Magdi. And I'm like, what's he saying now? Magdi comes over to me. He says, he wishes you were still wearing your shorts. I think they're these jeans, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm going to live by their terms. And Magdi may have said something, but actually by their terms, I'm going to live by. Also, it was very hot out there. So I was drinking a lot of water. I drink water, but I was drinking a lot of water. So I was in the refugee camps, and nature calls. I need to wee. And so I'm like, Magdi, I'm just going to go wee. Look, I've done this millions of times. When there isn't a toilet available, I'll just find a tree. I'm blessed this way, okay? So I'll go find a tree on the edge of the camp. Just lead me to it. So I go around the corner, find the edge of the camp, find a tree. And then I hear this shouting, David! And I was like, oh, no. Just unbuckling my jeans. And Magdi's like, oh, no, the team leader wants you to use a toilet here. And I was like, one of those toilets. You know, do you know how many refugees use one single toilet? It's not even a cubicle. And I was like, yeah, okay. And so I ended up having to use this toilet, and the whole team knew. And it was like, I feel like I had the authentic experience, to be honest. But as I was there, I realized I was living life not by my terms, not by what has been, not what, but what was used to, but actually by what they wanted, by the new terms of what I was doing out there. And here's a challenge. You may have a perception of how things should be in God. You may even have friends that will share out the best of their heart and ability what they think will happen to you and what will be good for you. But when you step into a relationship with God, be ready that God will ask you to change to live by his terms. You may not have all his terms sussed out, but he will reveal them to you because he loves you and he wants the best for you. Do you believe he has the best for you? My question to you then, finally, is what are you not accepting about yourself before God? Or what aren't you accepting about God's way? See, God is inviting us. He's inviting us. He's welcoming us home. And he's welcoming us home. And this is not a place. This is a person. This is not a building. This is a body. God is inviting us into Jesus, his son. So my question to you as we go into a time of worship in response, are we going to choose Jesus' rest? Because that's a choice. We have to do that by trusting and believing and going by his terms. How much can we allow the acceptance of God in our lives? Will we trust his grace and mercy? Will we deny ourselves from the terms that we've lived by before and give over to his terms?
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.